Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Number three, circumstantial discontentment. Oh man, I just wish I was further ahead in my development. I just wish that, you know, at my age, I thought I'd have my own house, have a career. Well, you just think, oh, if at my age, I'm married, and I just sort of had kids and that kind of stuff. And you begin to look at others and you kind of think, oh, the circumstances of life and your comparisons are beginning to weigh heavy upon you. Or if you see others and you kind of, they're married and you're divorced and you just kind of think, oh man, if that didn't happen, or you lost your job, or you missed that opportunity, and you compare it to others that kind of got that opportunity, or they've kept their life together, and you just, oh man, circumstantial discontent. Let me say this to you. Write it down if you can. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. 10% we cannot control because stuff happens. But 90% of how we respond to it, we can control. So when you're on Facebook and someone says something bad about you or ripping into you, you know, 10% you can't control, 90% you can. Man, I get on Facebook sometimes, I want to rip people's heads off over the media. Just annoys me what they say. But I've done that a couple of times and know it doesn't work. You have these wars in there and no one can win because you're not seeing eye to eye. Stay out of that kind of world. Don't get on there, you know, and pass on messages and that kind of stuff that are not edifying. Stay away from it. It's not encouraging you. It doesn't build your life. It doesn't build the kingdom of God. So let's go back to Philippians. You know, Philippians is a book about joy. Not joy the woman, joy the experience. Joy of God within the sense of well-being. So here's this book about Philippians. You know where Paul is writing Philippians from? From jail. He's in prison and he's chained between two Roman soldiers. And here he is writing the book of Philippians. And he says, I've learned to be content. Man, he's not on the beach drinking lemonade. Little drinks with umbrellas in them. Man, he's in jail. And you might think, oh, jail's not too bad. Man, they get a pretty good TV and all that kind of stuff. Hey, wind back the clock 2,000 years ago. Hey, it wasn't pretty and it didn't smell pretty. Life is not great for Paul when he writes the book of Philippians. But let's look at this again. Philippians 4:12, and it reads like this. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Here he is between two soldiers. Come on, man, come over here a bit. I've got to write before. Come on, give me a bit of room. Can I? And he's in this situation. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. And man, let's say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me sum this up for you. In Genesis 2, Adam had everything he wanted. He was so content. He was content in his relationship with God. He was content in trusting, depending, obeying, believing. He was content with his environment. It was just a kind of paradise. He was living the life. He was living the dream. And he had a life full of content. Genesis 3, man is tempted. away from this God contentment, this sense of well-being and all is well in my world and around me, and man is tempted and Genesis 2 is lost. Peace turned into turmoil. Dependence replaced with independence. Submission was replaced with rebellion. Serving God replaced with self-serving. And you just kind of think, how did that happen? He had it all made, but yielding to temptation, he lost his contentment and lost that closeness and the relationship with God because he got tempted away by the enemy, thinking there was a better way, but he's already living that better way. That's what temptation's about. It wants to take you off the track of life and take you into the darkened part. But the angel of light, you know, which is the enemy, appears as an angel of light. You know, he camouflages everything. And I want to tell you, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Let me just say this. I believe there is a holy discontent. So I'm not saying all discontent is bad. I believe there is a holy discontent where we know God, but we long more for him. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. We thank God for using us, but we want to be used more of him. So there is a holy discontent that we can have within our life. We've got a holy discontent as we just wait for Christ's return when he comes back and subdues his enemies and where we reign on this earth forever and ever with Jesus Christ. I believe there is a holy discontent. But apart from that, Paul says, hey, I think you better learn how to be content. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It says, keep yourself from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So am I saying, hey, we shouldn't have visions of progressing and seeing our lives being blessed? No, we should have visions of progressing and having our lives, you know, blessed. But it's, hey, let's be content where we are, but believing for more. Yeah. Do you understand that? Yeah. Don't be striving and lose your joy because you're full of envy of what others have. Hey, live in your lane and let's believe that God's going to give increase in Jesus' name. Yeah. So 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 7 says, godliness with contentment is of great gain. Does that mean you can be godly and discontent? It sounds like it. And then he says, for we brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out. So what is he saying? Hey, guys, just be content with what you got. Wherever you are now, it doesn't mean you're going to be poked in a corner and forgotten about it. We still have vision. We still have drive. But it comes from the disposition of we are content where we are now. Another verse, be content with such things as you have. For a man's life does not consist of what he has, but in what he possesses within his soul. And it's talking about the grace of God. What does content mean? I haven't given you a definition yet. Let me give it to you. You ready? A soul-satisfying joy. A deep-down sense of well-being. So what is contentment? It's an inside job. It lives with inside of you. It's an inner surrender to God. Now, let me say this. Contentment is not denying your feelings, but it's not being controlled by your feelings. You know, sometimes I could go there, but I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings. And I'm learning this. And it's a learning process that we've got to get happening within our life so that we can live this Christian life with a sense of contentment within our life. Contentment is not pretending all is well, but it displays a peace that God is going to work this out. I like that. Contentment is not dependent on circumstances, but it promotes joy in spite of our circumstances. What does a discontent heart do? You can tell me what your discontent heart does. It kind of has a tendency to reject God. It has a tendency to reject God's help and other people's help. It has an entitlement attitude. I deserve better. I deserve this. And the real sad thing about discontent, it erodes our pure worship to God. Oh, God, I I want to worship you, but we've allowed discontent to get in there and rule us, and our feelings and our entitlement and those kind of stuff. And in closing, maybe musicians can come. You know this, but I want to tell you this. Are you ready, church? Avoid unhealthy comparisons. Avoid unhealthy comparisons. Hey, I could wish I was 6 foot, but the reality is I'm not. I could wish I had a body that was had muscles bulging, but the reality is not going to happen. So avoid unhealthy comparisons. Even Paul says, hey, we don't compare ourselves. He says that's immature. You got to learn to kill this comparison thing within your life. And I know when you're young, oh man, it's hard, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any easier. You got to start to get on top of it and kill that thing within your life. And I just want to encourage us tonight. So much I could say, but every person here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, learn to nurture contentment. Discontent disempowers. And you might say, oh yeah, be content, yada, yada, yada. We've heard the scripture before and all that kind of stuff. But it's something you got to learn. I remember when I first went to the ski fields. I saw people skiing down the mountain and it looked so easy. So the person I went with who was going to mentor me and teach me, I kind of, just ignored him. He said, John, you're going to get some lessons. No, I'll be fine. Take me right up the top. So I go right up the top, fell off the lift. Tried to stand up. Yeah. It looked so easy. Can I tell you, in all humility, I went down that mountain on my backside. But then I thought, oh, I'll just get a few lessons. So I got a few more lessons and I'd still fall off the chairlift and I'd still kind of fall over occasionally. But in the end, I could, get off the chairlift and I could kind of make my way down the mountain without embarrassing myself too much. What did I do? I learned something. And I want to tell you, contentment is the same. You've got to learn it. You're going to fall over occasionally, but as you kind of learn it and persevere with it in your life, man, you'll eventually get the victory that Paul speaks about. So next time, what are you going to do? See that car? Man, he doesn't deserve that. Oh yeah, praise God. I am so happy for you. I'm rejoicing with you because I believe as we can learn to rejoice with people, man, it releases the blessing of God within our life. Or you're just saying, oh man, that person's got a, man, there, look, wah! Look at him and look at who he's with. She's so beautiful and he's such a dropkick. Hey, rejoice. Whatever the situation is, thank God for what you have. Thank God for where you're at. Just one more thing for single people. Who's single? Who wish they were? I always thought I'd get left on the shelf. Who would want me? Short, big nose, pretty shy, pretty inferior. And I always thought, this is not going good. I'd ask a girl out and she'd say, huh. I got more rejections than I got acceptances. And I think, oh my God, what, this is terrible. And I live in a small town and there's not many to choose from. You know what I had to do? I just had to surrender that to God. I really did. I didn't even know that teaching, but I knew I had to give that to God. We used to say, you need to let that die for now. And just enjoy where you're at in life. And I just want to encourage single people. Hey, you just think, oh man, they're getting married. Hey. It's not going to help you. Be content where you're at. Yeah. believe for more, but be content with where you're at in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying tonight that God helps us to nurture contentment within our life. God, help us not to be ruled by circumstances or by comparisons. What would have happened to David if he looked at Goliath's sword and compared his sling to Goliath's sword? The story would be completely different today. But he was content with what he had and believed that what he did have could be a weapon that could be used against the power of the enemy and see a big victory won. Moses could have compared the rod that God gave him. And he could compare it to Pharaoh's chariots. And the story could have been different, but he didn't compare it. He would thank God for what he had and believe that God was going to use what he had and increase what he had. Samson could have picked up that jawbone of an ass and kind of think, man, what is this against the Philistines' strategies for war? But he took what God had for him and he's content in it and he used it and he wrought great victories for God. I just want to tell you, it's a bit different, but I want to tell you today, stop comparing yourself to others and just live the best life you can. You are a powerful enemy, a powerful enemy. You are a powerful weapon. You're a powerful weapon against the enemy. God, deliver us from being discontent. Where does it start? God, I keep looking to you. I know the feelings are real. I know the temptations are real. I know all the persuasions are real. But God, I keep looking to you. I seek you first. I seek you first and I seek your kingdom first. I look to you in Jesus' name. I really hope that's been a help to you. That it starts to get into your head that we don't live by comparisons and we don't let our life be full of envy, but we start to look at what God has put within our life and where we're at and on the journey we're in, and God help us to be content. On good days, let's learn the secret of being content. On bad days, we learn the secret of content that we can say with the Apostle Paul, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's a journey. It's a journey. Come on, it's a journey we're all on in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.